Children, join me. I want to share a story with you today, and then we're going to do something unusual. I know that scares some of y'all. All right. You know who the Apostle Paul was? Anybody? Who was he? Who was Paul? All right, tell us. Who was
it? He was the one who went around telling people about God, and pretty much everywhere he went, some people listened to him. They started learning about God.
That's right.
They started churches. And even when Paul was in jail and things, he also, he did things like that. And also, even when he was stuck in jail, he just wrote notes and sent them out to his friends to keep reminding them about God. And two of the things that he did to keep people remembering about the right things you need to do is the fruit of the Spirit and the armor of God. That's the way he showed people in pretty much an easier to understand way of what you need.
Did y'all get that?
God's.
He's got a synopsis of Paul as the Professor Manning. Okay, so you got all that about Paul. We're at the end of his life now. We're at the end of his ministry. What we know about him from Scripture, he's been arrested. He's appealed because he's a Roman citizen. He's appealed to Caesar that he'll get his case heard before Caesar. The Jews want him to be dead. He's in jail, and one governor after another are listening. They're listening to him. And finally, King Agrippa II, who was king over the area where Jesus walked at the time in Israel, he was king. And Paul is brought before him, and Paul tells him about Jesus. And I want you to listen to this, what he said. And Paul was saying this in his defense. Festus said in a loud voice, "Paul, you're out of your mind. Your greatest learning is driving you mad." So they're saying, Festus, this other king, saying, "You're crazy." And "for the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I'm persuaded that none of these things escape his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" Paul said, "I know you do." Now hear what King Agrippa says to Paul. He says, "In a short time, Paul, you're about to persuade me to become a Christian." Now, we don't know that King Agrippa ever received Jesus into his life. In fact, the evidence points that he didn't receive Jesus in his life. He rejected Jesus.
So that's how Paul was killed?
Well, that was much later. Now, when I was 6 years old, I was in Sunday school one Sunday morning, and we had this kid every week. They let him lead the music. He loved to wave his arm. And he was up there leading the music. And he led this morning when I was 6 in a song. I'm going to ask Miss Pam and Miss Audrey to come up here. They didn't know about this. And Miss Gary is going to play it. And I want y'all to stand right here behind me and help me with this song, okay? I'll pay for this later, but it's worth it now. At this point in my life, I can say that. Okay? All right, y'all can stand over here by Gary so you can really get the tune. Okay? And this is the song. This song really touched my heart. And it goes like this. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. How many of you have ever heard that song before? You grew up on that song. Let's sing it together, everybody, okay? Gary? Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Thank you all very much. Now, what's that song about? What is it saying? It's a prayer, isn't it? Asking Jesus to come into your heart. That's one of the early times when I remember that Jesus touched my heart. And I know He's touching y'all's hearts. And He wants to come into your life. But that's something nobody else can do for you. Just like with King Agrippa, he had a choice to make. That day, he chose to reject Jesus. I hope your choice to accept Jesus. Ask Him to come into your heart. Be Savior and your Lord. If you have any questions about any of the folks that work with you in Kid Zone, they'll help you to understand. Miss Becky, Brother Dusty, Brother Dane, Brother Rick's not here right now, but we'd be glad to talk to you, okay? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for being Lord of our lives. And I pray for these children, Lord, you'll continue to draw them to yourself. In your name, amen. All right, y'all can go to Kid Zone. God bless you. You see how he got that card in the basket? He's setting an example. Thank you, Brother Gary, Sister Pam, Sister Audrey. How are you today? I'll never forget that day when I could probably take you to the room and show you exactly where I was sitting. And I felt the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that's what it was at the time. But now looking back on it, singing that song, and it cut right through all the stuff in my life. Right in my heart as a little child. He does that. Now, if you have your Bible today, turn with me to Exodus, the second chapter. As you're turning there, let me introduce today's message. Who do you need and who needs you? Who do you need? We just got back from Wisconsin. Feed me. Change my diaper. Hold me. Then hold me some more. And then hold me a lot more. Don't give me back to my mom and daddy. Take me to Georgia where I belong. I was interpreting what Finley was saying in Finley language. Who do you need and who needs you? Now, this is going to move kind of quickly, okay? I want to read this passage. We're not accustomed to reading the Bible in church. You know that, right? We're accustomed to hearing man's voice. I want to read the Bible to you, okay? Second chapter, Exodus. Listen. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Why'd she hide him? She was living in Egypt. all male children would be killed. When she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. And then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. What was his sister's name? Miriam. Who are we talking about? Moshe. The daughter of the Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile. With her maidens walking alongside the Nile, she saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the boy was crying. She had pity on him, and she said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister, what's her name? Miriam, said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Who do you think was speaking in her ear about what to do at that moment? The Holy Spirit. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. How about this now? God can work a plan when we have no plan. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So she's going to be, God's economy is, she's going to be paid for being Moses' mother.
Yeah.
How about them apples? So the woman took the child and she nursed him. The child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moshe, Moses, and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." You see, it's like a baptism has taken place. The child grew. Now, it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and he looked on their hard labors. Now, he's grown up, so what is he going to become when he grows up? A son of Egypt. And what was the Pharaoh considered to be in those days? He was God. He saw the hard labors of his people. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw no one was around, he struck down the Egyptian, he killed him, and he hit him in the sand. He went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. He said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" What are we about to learn now? It's always somebody watching. He said, "Who made you prince or judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." Was he correct in that? Yes, he was. When Pharaoh heard of the matter, he tried to kill Moses. Now, I know all of you have got Charlton Heston in your mind right now. And let me tell you, they'll be showing that movie here before long because, you know, we're on the Christian calendar, we're in, you know, the Lent season, you know, and then Holy Week is coming up. We're coming up on Passover, the spring feast. So we're going to see that movie. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh, and he settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, he flees, and you look on a map, and you'll see how far that was. He ran a long way. He sits down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. They came to draw water. What is on the mind of a man with seven daughters? Seven marriages with great payments of goats donkeys, and everything else. They came to draw water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. So what does Moses do? He intercedes. He runs them off. So what do you think they're thinking about Moses, these seven daughters of the priest of Midian? What's their attitude about this guy right now? Boy, I'd love to take him home forever. I don't know if he looked like Charlton Heston, but it says he's beautiful, remember, as a baby. All right. Verse 18. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "Why have you come back so soon today?" So they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherd." So they're looking at him, and what do they see? They see the appearance of an Egyptian. Was there a difference in the way an Egyptian looked in those days and the way a Hebrew looked? You see the inscriptions. You see the way that they, particularly the upper crust of the Egyptian society, the way they did themselves and groomed themselves, the obvious difference. They wanted there to be a difference. So they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. What is more, he even drew the water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he? Why is it that you have left the man behind? Invite him home for supper." Moses was willing to dwell with the man. Don't you like that? He was willing to dwell with the man. So obviously Moses is interested. He gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. And then she gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom. For he said, "I've been a sojourner in a foreign land." Now it came about in the course of many days that the king of Egypt died, the Pharaoh. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So there's more, that there is more affliction. We'll ask you this question. Does God hear the affliction of people? Does he hear what's going on in the earth? Does he hear what's going on right now? Of course he does. Verse 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. He's answering their prayer. They're crying out. And so many of them at this time, we just assume all of them are this, these real religious Jews that worship. Not, no. We're talking about they have grown prolifically there in the Nile Delta region, in that region. I mean, their multiplication by the scripture we see, they multiplied just tremendously. Now, you follow the story so far? Moses, he's in the land of Midian. He has a family. The groaning is going up. So God's got a plan. He's always got a plan. And he wants to involve us in the plan. And the plan is bigger than us. It's bigger than what we can imagine. It's bigger than the agendas that our little church people here in the West can think about. It's bigger than history, his plan. I've read stuff today that these places and what's going on, it's right out of the news today, isn't it? Are you following? Now, chapter 3. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. It's very tempting for me to preach all the sermons that go along with this, but We're not. We're on task. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Who was that? When it says this, you know, the theological word we use for this is theophany. It's a revelation. Messenger means you, angel means messenger. It's messenger of God. Personally, I think it's a revelation of the Son of God that's there in the bush, that he's there revealing himself, the fire. And Moses cannot ignore it. When God decides he wants to get your attention, you can't ignore him. You can't ignore him. He's going to bring himself front and center because he can change all the circumstances. So the bush is burning, yet it's not consumed. Let's read it again. Verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now to see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. And when the Lord, and he's using the word there, his covenant name, Yahweh, saw that he turned aside to look, he called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses, can you imagine what that must have sounded like when God calls your name? He speaks to you. Let me tell you, he speaks to you and to me today. And hear what Moses says. Here I am. Now, what do you think is going through his mind right now? Whew! This is something else. Chill bumps on top of chill bumps on top of chill bumps all over his body. Verse 5. He said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. Take those shoes off, son. He said also, I am. Ooh, man. When you hear I am, whew, that's all he needs to say is I am. You can fill in the blank with the rest of it. With whatever you want to put, I am. That's enough. I am the God, the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. He did not want to be consumed by him at this point in time. We can't wrap our minds and hearts around that. That's hard. Verse 7, the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I'm aware of their suffering. We're years later. But what do you reckon has gone through Moses' mind at this point? He knows what he's talking about. He knows the affliction. And now the Lord's come to him with a specific message. So, I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And where are they right now? They've come to that place. He brought them back then. They scattered, and he's brought them back again. To the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, all the ites. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I've seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Does God see the oppression of people in the earth? Does he see that today? Has he seen it throughout history? Does he come and answer people's prayers? Yes, he does. verse 10. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh. Whoop! Stop right there. Send me to Pharaoh. What? Hey, listen, don't you remember? I ran out of there within an inch of my life. I'm a marked man. They've got wanted posters out on me. They'll pay a lot of money to see me dead. Think of all that's going through his mind. So that you may bring my people and the sons of Israel out of Egypt. Oh boy. Moses said to the Lord, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh that I would bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Good question, Moses. He says, certainly, I'll be with you. This shall be a sign to you that as I have been sent to you, when you've brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Did that happen? Better believe it did. Then Moses said to the Lord, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel. I'm going to do it. I'll say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and now they may say to me, what's his name? And you say you know him. What's his name? What shall I say to them? Get it now. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you, sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my name forever. This is my memorial name to all generations. And he sends him. You know the story. He goes. He doesn't get a warm welcome. The plagues come. God speaks. Finally, Pharaoh relents, lets them go. And we have one of the greatest events that have ever taken place in history. Exodus. Of 1 million+ people. Now I know historians try to denigrate that. They try to move that number down. But you do the math about, and you go back, and it was at least that many people who left at that time. It was a tremendous thing. They sin, they wander in the wilderness. Finally, Moses just gets to see over into the promised land. Remember? He doesn't get to go in. Joshua, they come into the land and they take the land. And they're there till 70 AD. Excuse me, until the deportations that come in 604, 597, 586. They leave, they come back. 10 tribes went before that. 70 AD, things are destroyed. The temple is destroyed. They're scattered finally. And then, just a few short years ago, they become a nation again. And Jews start coming back to the land from all over the earth. And they're pouring into the land now. Which will happen, and God is going to bring it all to fruition. It's part of his plan. Now, there's your history lesson. Now, who do you need and who needs you? Listen, Moses needed his mom. He got here through her, right? His parents. He needed his dad. They got him here. But they needed him. Because he became the avenue of blessing into their lives. Moses needed his sister. His sister's the one that hid him out there in the river and watched him every day. And that went on and on. But later on, we'll trace through history, and Miriam will need Moses in her life to preserve her life. She'll become, that song that she sings, it is a work of art. Pharaoh's daughter. Moses needed Pharaoh's daughter, didn't he? She comes and rescues him. But she would need him because she needed a child. What a blessing he was. Can you imagine that? A Gentile that gets a blessing like that? That gets to be the mother of Moses? Imagine it. Just wrap your mind around the blessing of that. Pharaoh. Well, Moses come and Moses needed Pharaoh, didn't he? Because it was a calling in his life that he would go there and be that person. But because the cry went out, the cry of the Israelites went out. But Pharaoh would need Moses also. But he would reject the plan of God over and over again. Moses needed those seven daughters of the priest of Midian, didn't he? He needed them that day because, in a sense, they rescued him. And then he rescued them. You see both parts of that. He needed his father-in-law because his father-in-law at that day provided a place, opened his home for him. But later on, his father-in-law would give him some great advice in his life. He needed his wife, Zipporah. Zipporah became a constant companion to him, but she would need him as she would see her life take on significance like it had never taken on before. The Israelites needed Moses to come and to be the point man, the point of the spear for deliverance for them. But Moses needed them to find out who he really was and who his significance was all about in the earth. Egypt needed Moses. God was giving to Egypt a chance to get it right, to choose him. They rejected him. But Moses needed Egypt. He needed to go back and make right what had been done wrong before. You race on ahead. I could continue this list. Joshua, the one whose name is the same as Yeshua, Jesus, he would need Moses to come and to school him, to raise him up in the Lord. But then Moses would need Joshua to take the people of God into the promised land. Who have we left out? Well, it's many after that, but there's one big person we've left out. The burning bush. Moses needed a personal relationship with Yahweh himself. He needed to hear the voice of God. He needed to become part of the plan of God to fulfill what God had in mind. Now, did God need Moses? God can do whatever he wants to do. But here's the part I'd say about that. God chose Moses. Now, who do you need? Look around you. I know a lot of people. Let me tell you, people are dropping out of church in America like flies. This mumbo jumbo about how much the church has grown in America is untrue. That's not the truth of the matter.
Who do we need? We need each other. We need one another to walk with one another. The part of Western culture that is damnable is the part of that rugged individualism that is, you know, it's good to say, yeah, I'm going to take responsibility. But the evil side of that is to believe that you're the one that provides the power to do it. Because you don't. What breath do you breathe in your body that God didn't give you? What talent do you have that was not a gift from God? What capacity do you have because you were born over here and not over here? What color was your skin? What country were you born in? Those are real issues. I don't understand all that, but I know it's real. We need each other. Who do you need? Who around you? And who needs you? Most Americans go about choosing a church in this manner. What's in it for me? They put the chart out. They get an Excel sheet, spreadsheet, put it down. Well, this, I like this part. Didn't like that. Didn't like this. You know who's left out of that over and over again? Who never gets a voice in that? Who? God! That is a stench to His nostrils. That He never gets a choice in that. When that ought to be the first thing we decide. I'm going to listen to the voice of God. We're going to follow the crowd or we're going to follow Jesus. Got choice. It's not about you. It's not about your convenience. It's not about your agenda. It's about Him. Because let me tell you, Moses, he could have been satisfied right there, I guess, living the rest of his days. But what would he have missed in Midian? What? What would he have missed? The plan and the call of God. That was bigger than he can imagine in his life. He stuttered. He couldn't speak. He had problems. He was the wrong race. Come on. He had a stack of problems like this. And he smelled like sheep. Imagine what he looked like by this time. I don't know if you looked at shepherds and all, but personal grooming is not just a thing that you're going to just spend a lot of time on. There aren't many mirrors out there in the desert for you to look at that. But what would he have missed, the most important thing? He'd have missed God. He'd missed the presence and the power of God. And you read his life story. He's an old guy by the time this happens. And it only just begins. That gives my heart a lot of joy. I'm 60 years old. I'm ready for the good part now. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Grease the slide. Let's go. Look at all he'd have missed out on. Was he perfect? No! But who was depending on him? Here's the question that's never asked in church today. All the books, man, I got stacks of books about how to do church and all that. You know, all the stacks of books. But what is missing in that over and over again is who's dependent on us. Because it doesn't stop with me. When I was designed and when I was struck in His image, I was designed to be a conduit, not a bucket. Do you hear me? A conduit. That means that
God wants to keep on blessing me. I become not the receptacle, but the avenue, the throughway through which God wants to bless other people. But and I can say that because I stuttered as a child. But God I don't see any place in here where it says he was ever delivered from that. Now Aaron could speak like a politician. But what was his weakness? While Moses is up there getting the Ten Commandments, what's old Aaron doing? Weak! But God. But. Who do you need? And who needs you? God doesn't have to have you. But let me tell you the way he feels about you. If you'd been the only person in the earth, the Son of God would willingly lay down his life for you. Make sense? Do you hear this today? All right. What you going to do about it? Going to sit on your hands? You're gonna continue to wait for somebody to say, "Oh, come here and do this. Let me put your hand on this so you can pick up your fork and eat." Or you're gonna grow up and be the people God has called you to be. It doesn't take you much time to organize to do this or that or what. What's God calling you to do? Do it. And that doesn't mean planning other things for other people to do. It means you. Getting on the firing line. We're not going to have a softball team. Go join one, right? Go join a secular club. Get involved where you can be salt and light and be the people of God. When voting comes up in this city, be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Have you prayed for the people that you complain about? Just a few things. So I'm saying, let's adopt some Nike theology, which is what? Do it. God's calling you to do it. So do it. Do what he's put on your heart. And do it without complaining. Or without a spotlight. Without an audience. Oh, look at me, what I'm doing over here. This is my ministry. God will not bless that unless it suits his purposes. But you'll miss. I love you. And I want to see God work in this great country. I want to see God work in this city. I want to see God work in my life, in this church. And I want you to look around. Look around. See some empty seats. Where are those people? Those are the people that are in your life. And they're waiting. They need you to be part of the plan and purpose of God. They're waiting on you. Say, "Well, you don't know the people in my life." No, I know the people in my life. And I think the ones in my life are a lot like the people in your life. And I think some of them are idiots. Some of them are stupid. And some of them are just asinine. But, I mean, God used a jackass to speak before. So he can use you and he can use me. Right? That's all I got to say about that. I want to pray for you. We'd sure like to get those, I know some of you, who are guests here, you thought I was going to do the shakedown before we left or something like that. Something real religious, you know. Not going to do any of that. We're going to... cooperate with God. I'm going to send you out those doors so you can really be the church at Walmart and in your home and where you live and where you play softball and all that stuff. Okay? All right? If you want to pray, we'll be here to pray with you. Be glad to hang out and pray with you. But we'll just do this today, okay? All right? Basket up back there, basket's up here. We get the cards, and I'm going to tell you, if God's put it on your heart to give today, if he said give a dime, what can God do with a dime? Anything he wants. I used to pray for God to give me money. And I thought, well, God, you could eliminate the bills. Then we can cut out the middleman. How about that? You do that? How about that, John? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Okay. All right. There we go. I want to pray for you. I love you. Do you believe that? Well, some of you do. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Lord, we're amazed in your presence. We stand amazed. You are Lord over all. Lord, if anything I said today wasn't part of you, strike it from our memories right now. But Lord, I'm going to pray that prayer I prayed last week. Everything that I said today that was in keeping with the will and purpose of God, I ask you, Lord, to sear it into my memory, into our memory, so we can be who we're supposed to be. Thank you, Lord. The people, Lord, there in our lives, people that we need to be bringing to our life groups, we need to be bringing on Sundays, that we need to be sending to other churches, Lord, that are preaching the word. Lord, I'm asking you to reveal all that to us and let us cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, I'm asking you right now to stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Stir them up. Stir the pot. Lord, so we can be obedient to do your will and purpose. And Lord, right now, I ask you to rebuke the enemy with the lies that he'll bring to our hearts today and say, well, you can't believe that, or all the lies. Lord, I'm asking you just to cut them off right now and let the truth of God stand today. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And we are looking forward to your coming. And we shout out loud, come quickly, Lord. Come quickly. Come. In your name we pray. Amen.